Hear the apostolic word from the 11th chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So far the reading. Paul the Apostle had received from the Lord was what he delivered to others. And that bears repeating. What Paul the Apostle had received from the Lord was what he delivered to others. That simple and clear statement defined for him his work as an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle received and an apostle delivered. He received, first of all, a direct call from the Son of God. His position as an apostle was not a result of his own choosing or decision. He received a message which he was to communicate. He didn't come up with the message out of his own intellect and creativity. He received the message from the one who called him. And he received a commission. He didn't take for himself the authority to communicate his message. He received that apostolic and commission and authority from the one who said, "All authority in heaven and earth is mine. Now you go in my place." A call, a message with specific content, and a commission. All these things Paul the Apostle had received. What was he supposed to do with what he had received? Deliver the message and do so in a trustworthy manner. Don't change the content. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't shrink from doing what an apostle is called and commissioned to do. Deliver. And that is what he did. What he delivered can be summarized in the following way. Among humankind there is none righteous, not even one. All the world stands guilty before God. All are under the curse of the law, which exposes sin and condemns to the agony of eternal death. But the Son of God in human flesh has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. By him, God has reconciled the world to himself by grace alone. And furthermore, he has given among men, through his apostles, the word of reconciliation, the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation, the message that brings life and immortality to light in the midst of human darkness and despair. This gospel powerfully imparts and gives what Christ has won for all, forgiveness of sins and resurrection to eternal life. This gospel is a creative power which gives the gift of faith so that individuals can embrace and claim as their very own everything that the Son of God has won for them and live in hope of resurrection to eternal life. This is a summary of what St. Paul received from the Lord and what he delivered through his apostolic ministry and through that apostolic word which the Lord gave to the church through St. Paul by inspiration. Now in the 11th chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, the apostle expands on one aspect of that message that he had received. He wants to make clear a particular part of the content of the message that he had received from the Lord, and that has to do with what we variously call the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion. Our gracious God knows that we live in the midst of many and great dangers to our faith, and while there is only one gospel message that serves us in our spiritual need, our gracious God has seen fit to bring this gospel to us and offer his help and counsel against sin in more than one way, because he is, as Dr. Luther puts it, surpassingly rich in his grace. And so, in addition to bringing that gospel to us through the word which is preached to us, and through holy baptism, and through the word of absolution, and through the mutual encouragement of our fellow believers, the Lord of the Church has also instituted a sacred meal for our spiritual benefit. Therefore, the Apostle writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" The Lord of the Church, God in human flesh, on the night in which he was given over into the hands of sinful men for the purpose of winning our salvation, instituted this holy meal to give to each one of us in this intensely personal and intimate manner the benefits of his work of redemption. He has so ordained that by the power of his word, his very body and blood, that same body which was nailed to the cross, that same blood which poured forth from his wounds, are really present for us to eat and to drink. A gracious Savior places into our mouths by the hand of his called servant the very body and blood by which he won our salvation, and he says to each of us, "This is for you. I have redeemed you. You are mine. Only believe. No one will snatch you out of my hand." There is no other bread like this bread. There is no other wine like this wine. This supper alone satisfies our deepest hunger. It gives the forgiveness of sins and delivers from death and the power of the devil. It builds up faith and gives life and hope. What does the one who instituted this supper require of us when we come to partake? Only a hearty appetite for that which he offers, an appetite that grows out of the awareness of our need for what he gives. It is when we hunger and thirst for the righteousness which we know that we do not have in ourselves that our Lord says to us, "Blessed are you in your hunger and thirst, for I have that which truly satisfies. Here it is. It's free, and it's for you. Take and eat, the true body of Christ. Take and drink, the true blood of Christ." May this holy supper of our Lord strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.
Today we offer a very special prayer on behalf of little Laura Marzoff, the young daughter of Professor Dennis Marzoff and his wife Beth. This Friday, Laura faces a very challenging surgery, very delicate surgical procedure at Mayo Clinic in Rochester. We'd also like to keep in our prayers today Pastor Brad Holman, the father of Allison and David Holman of our student body. Please rise. Our gracious God and Lord, your child whom you love is in need of a special measure of your mercy. You have given her life and provided for her needs through the hands of loving parents and family. You have provided redemption for her from sin, death, and the power of the evil one by the sacrifice of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You have given her the blessings of that redemption in the sacrament of holy baptism and the hearing of your word. You have created faith in her heart to embrace that redemption. Now in your mercy and in accordance with your good and gracious will, provide her, we beseech you, with healing for her body. Keep her and her loved ones during their anxious hours in that peace of mind and spirit which only you can give, and grant them the faith to trust that your good and holy will is done in all things. We also approach you today on behalf of your servant Brad Homan. Be with him and his family, and give them the confidence from your word that you will work all things according to your gracious will. Let your holy angel be with them and with all of us in this world where we walk in danger all the way. We pray in the name of him who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.